Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A couple years ago, we bring in Jay Ettinger multiple times, Dan, right? Multiple times to talk about issues with the city of Minneapolis. Since then, he's on Channel 4, he's on Channel 9, now he's on Fox News.
Big time.
How far away are we, Jay, before you're not even returning our calls?
Calm down. I always get back to you within about 72 hours, Chad.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we got a lot of stuff for you. Let's start with Jacob Fry. Let's talk about your bar, restaurant.
What do you want to talk business about something positive?
This is positive because he's made a significant change in people gathering around a bar. That this idea that you just sit at the table, that now you have the latitude to do it. What is your reaction to that decision?
Well, it's a baby step in the right direction. I'm not the COVID expert. I don't want to pretend to be. I'm not the restaurant expert. I own a restaurant. I don't operate it. I don't spend a lot of time there. But I'm very involved with the restaurant community because of the relationships I've formed in that community. It's a baby step. It's great for the restaurants because, you know, you're having people, you know, making an 8:30, 9 o'clock dinner reservation, and they're getting pushed out of the bar. I mean, I one of my own restaurants, I was there with a friend the other day, and, you know, we got forced, we had to leave. And, you know, you kind of get the 15-minute warning, the 10-minute warning, and then you're out the door. And it's awkward for the staff. It's awkward for everybody. So at 11 o'clock, it really helps the restaurants. But I can tell you, at a couple bars that I own, we do, I would guess, 80% of our revenue between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. So it does nothing for us. It's a step in the right direction. You know, like I said, I'm not the COVID expert, but I do know the data and I do know the facts. And, you know, when they shut us down a couple months ago, the facts just weren't there. I mean, they could only trace 1.4% of COVID cases to restaurants and food establishments. And the problem I have with that is, you know, people are getting called, people I know that are in the industry and own restaurants. Once they had COVID, the state was calling them to ask them questions, and they were focused on bars and restaurants and didn't want to hear about time spent in the big box stores. So I think a lot of it's been incredibly disingenuous on the state's behalf, and that's all I'll say about that.
So on the financial side, with what the city of Minneapolis has done and what the legislature has done, and then to a certain level what the federal government has done, all were late. Okay, let me stipulate my feeling that when this industry, the hospitality industry, was hit harder than any others, there should have been money flowing this way early on. It wasn't, and it's an embarrassment. The legislature has now stepped forward. Whether it's your business or the other businesses that you know, have they been helped out?
The ones that have been proactive and are organized, yeah, I think they've been helped out. I mean, it's the only reason we're still open, along with the fact that we've got landlords that are working with us. I mean, they're being reasonable and they're being heard at the same time, but also getting, I don't know about the federal funding and the funding they're receiving, but we've got landlords that have listened to us, unlike city government. We've got landlords that have a conversation and we've worked things out. And I don't know the long-term prospects for my business. One of our locations is open. a few days a week. Numbers are, you know, down 80%, 90%, because like I said, we make our money at night. One of our locations is not open, and it's not open because not because of COVID. It's not open because we don't feel it's safe for people to be in that location, and neither do any of the other establishments in that neighborhood right now.
Let's go to security. The Chauvin trial is expected to start March 8th. Things can always pop up, but it's expected to start then. We're going to have the Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman, on next hour and see if they can come to agreement, because right now the big split that's holding up the Democrats. The Democrats can't come to an agreement. Are you confident that the right amount of people on the security side will be in the city if the Chauvin trial starts on time?
I do, and I'll tell you this. I'm a really big fan of Sheriff Hutchinson, and I think I've mentioned that on the show before, and I've had conversations with him. And I don't know if you saw the press conference they had with Chief Arredondo, who I also think the world of.
We had on yesterday at this exact same time, John Harrington. So
yes,
yeah,
and I know John Harrington was part of it. I don't know John Harrington. I know Eddie Frizzell was there, who's at Metro Transit. I've got a relationship with Eddie dating back to his days at the First Precinct. I do. Talking to Hutch, I feel what he shared with me, which I can't share, and it was he didn't share a lot with me, but he shared enough to make me feel comfortable that they're going to get this right. And for them to have that press conference, I think showed a sign of collaboration and unity amongst all law enforcement across the board, State Patrol. I felt really good about that, and I do feel good about it. I feel like the city and the you know our community is getting a mulligan because we got it wrong last time. We're kind of that's a golf term, isn't it, Chad? I'm not a golfer, but isn't that a golf term that means a do-over?
That's hey, that was awful. Let's give you another try.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what we're getting that. It's probably not a very common opportunity in a situation like this. We got a chance to get it right this time, and I think we will.
This guy, Ryan Steensland, you may have heard of. He uses
a lot of mulligans there.
Oh, yeah, they're constant.
On and off the course, I'm sure.
Yes, he does. That's for sure. So we now had debate last night about the plan that Philippe Cunningham, Steve Fletcher, and others have offered up about reinventing the police department. This goes back to defund the police and how that came out more prominently post George Floyd. It had been discussed nationally before, but it certainly ratcheted up last summer. That didn't pass the charter. We had Philippe Cunningham on this show for an extended conversation. I think what would you say, Dan? Maybe 2 weeks ago Friday, 3 weeks ago Friday, lengthy conversation. What do you think about some of the ideas that have been proposed, that have been offered up, about pretty radically changing how the police would work?
Well, here's my problem, and I mentioned this when I was on my national interview the other day, is that there were nine people on that stage, right? And if you individually ask those nine people that stood up there with the defund the police message on that stage what their idea of defund the police means, you get at least five or six different answers. So that just tells me there's no cohesiveness, they're not consistent in their message, and they don't know what they're doing. And they've proven over the last 3 years, and especially the last 9 months, they don't know what they're doing. So I have no confidence in anything they want to do. They've got no background or experience in law enforcement. I've got a lot of opinions on how a lot of these people came to power, but I have no confidence in their competence and their level of ability to, even if they got this approved, to carry it out in an effective way. So can I just share a quick story with you, Chad?
Of course you can.
So May 24th, I was introduced to a gentleman named Jamil Jackson, who's the head basketball coach at Patrick Henry High School. And my friend Ryan Walseth thought that we would have something in common, a common bond, because he knows how much I care about the North Minneapolis community. So Jamil and I met for 3 hours outside of Target Field at the Caribou Coffee out there in center field. And he got me all fired up and excited about, you know, helping him raise money for a community center to teach. He's got a mentoring program where he teaches these kids real life skills, right? Stuff they're not learning in school, like real actual life skills, like learning the trades. So I got really excited about helping Jamil with this project. And we had an immediate bond and friendship and kept in close contact in the last 9 months. Well, the day after we met was a day, you know, probably the most unfortunate day in the city's history was the day that George Floyd died. On Tuesday, that became public. It just hit me this week as I was thinking about, you know, kind of preparing for this national interview, this, you know, this national audience. You got to be careful what you say. And it's so tough because you do it. You have to worry so much about what you say. If you say one thing wrong, it can come back to haunt you for the rest of your life. And as I was thinking about my interview, it hit me that I've probably spent about 400 hours in the last 9 months strategizing, meeting with people, sitting on Zoom calls to fight the city council. That's 400 hours that could have been dedicated to helping Jameel and these kids in North Minneapolis to accomplish the things they really need. And that's what frustrates me the most. And I've met some wonderful, amazing people over the last 9 months. There are so many people in our community that are doing so much work and aren't getting credit and are just doing it for the greater good of our community. But that's the part that just I can't let go of this week. It just hit me this week, and it's literally driving me nuts that all this time and all this energy that we could be doing good for the kids in our community, and yet those kids now are victims of violent crimes because we're not protecting them, because we're going after the police, and we know our Black community has been the most negatively impacted by these crimes throughout this period of time.
My friend Jay Ettinger is here. Jay lives in Minneapolis, believes in Minneapolis, spends in total thousands of hours every year caring about Minneapolis. So the impact and his interest never should be questioned. Okay, city council, you're not a fan. I certainly have spoken out in areas where I have great disagreement. What is your greatest concern right now about the direction of the city council?
You know, listen, I was on your show a year and a half ago, and I said a couple things. I said Jack Frost is the best cop in town. Well, guess what? That wasn't the case this winter and hasn't been the case. Crime has not slowed down. We had double-digit below-zero temperatures last weekend. We had 8 people shot, including 2 pregnant women. I mean, so my concern is these people need to be taken out of power. I mean, I can't put it any more clearly than that. We need change at City Hall. And we need real leadership. And we don't have that right now. We've got a bunch of people that are playing games with their lives. I said this to you 2 years ago. Or a year and a half ago, I couldn't feel even more strongly about it today. When I said Steve Fletcher, my personal council member, is more dangerous than the criminals walking the streets, I truly believe that. But I do want to say one other thing, and this is going to take a left turn.
Well, let me just push back again on Fletcher.
Sure.
I philosophically disagree with many of his approaches. I think there is too much on one side of the conversation, which is, and it's a valid one, okay, what's going on at home, how we can help. I don't want to downplay that in any way. Okay, let me be clear. But you have to have a duality. You also have to have safety issues. People who live there, who travel there, have to feel safe. You need to have the right law enforcement. So I get that. But to say that Fletcher is as dangerous as those who are behind the criminality, do you really want to go that far as people who are harassing people, breaking causing damage?
Not just Fletcher, the people that stood on that stage. I single him out because he's my council member, right? And I've had conversations with him. They don't listen. We've got faith leaders. We've got educators in our Black community that are not being listened to. They're just not being listened to. Everything they're crying about is falling on deaf ears, right? And so when you're enabling this behavior, and this is where I want to take a left turn, Jack, because there is another part of this enablement. It's the Hennepin County judicial system. Our judges are taking violent criminals and literally putting them back on the street minutes after violent crimes. And there was a story on KSTP the other day. I know that the child was a 12-year-old child. I believe he's from St. Paul, so it's Ramsey County, but I think they sent him over to the Hennepin County Detention Center. He was involved in multiple carjackings over a few days and was right back on the street, 12 years old. Chad, we can't have this. I mean, to say that someone walking their dog down the street is a privilege is ridiculous. We're supposed to live in a civil society.
Right.
We pay taxes. We pay rent for services and to be protected and feel safe. To act like that's a privilege to walk down the street is not a privilege. That's a basic right that we all have. and our government, that should be their number one responsibility, is to keep the public safe.
Okay, so I'll finish with this. As your friend, I can't recommend this. But as someone who has lived for years in downtown Minneapolis, worked in downtown Minneapolis, and believes in downtown Minneapolis, again, this isn't me as a friend. This is me as someone who wants the city to rally. Why don't you run?
You know what? I've been asked that every day for years, and it's certainly the calls are more frequent recently. I can't. Jay, you know what? Listen, I love this city. I love this city. I love the people of this city. But there is a large number of people in the city that I just do not see eye to eye with. And I care so much. I have no ego. That's the problem. I think the problem is I don't have an ego. I just want what's best for everyone. I don't care. I would love to be the person behind the person. I don't want credit for things. I just want decent people to have decent lives. And that goes for everyone. I don't care what your economic situation is. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago about Minnesota yep. having the lowest minority graduation rates in the country, and people need to Terrible. Wake up and realize that, right? You can blame, you know, I'm so tired of Republican versus Democrat and, you know, black versus white, old versus young. We got to just come together. Enough of this. When I talked to you 3 days after George Floyd died, you interviewed me, and I said the only good I can see coming out of this is everyone I know, no matter what their political affiliation is, no matter what their background is, everybody was heartbroken and disgusted by what they saw. This is a time for us to come together. And I feel like our city has divided us. I can't just blame the city. We have to take personal accountability for allowing that
sure.
allowing
yep.
that to happen as well. But I couldn't see myself in office and being happy. I think I'd be miserable because the second I took office, there'd be hundreds of thousands of people in the city that would hate me for no reason. And that's just not who I am. I just want everyone to be happy, and I don't think I'm the right person for the job.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. I got to fly. Thanks, right. as always.
Thanks
Great
so
content.
Much. Yep.
My friend, Jay Ettinger, to me, making a lot of sense every time he comes on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.